brought me a little pencil, so in case I have to make notes, because we know how my phone and I work together when it comes to, oops, notes.
You're Liz making noise and we're recording already.
And using the last pencil on Earth.
You already made this first snafu of the evening, Liz. Thank you.
You know, first of all,
there's a rumble in the jungle.
You know, we've been away for a while. It's been a long time since we've
actually
came
back.
I know. You know, it's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you without a dope beat. The step two, step two, step two, the step two. You was on vacation, Liz. Where'd you go to?
I went down to Florida. Wasn't long enough.
It wasn't. Yeah, you came back a little early, didn't you?
I did come back early, but that's okay because I'll be moving there sometime and it'll be permanent.
That's her pipe dream. What'd you do down there?
It's not a dream.
Okay.
It'll be a reality.
It's a reality.
It's a reality. Okay. No, what'd you do down there? Besides go live in a two-piece bikini in the water.
I was trying to go live, but there was like literally a like 6-inch spot out in the water that would had connection, and if I swam or floated out of that spot, I would lose connection. I had to keep backstroking into that spot.
Yep.
It was so annoying.
She was in there putting Flipper in the water. She has a tattoo of a dolphin
there.
So she was putting Flipper in
the
water.
Free.
But you know, you had fun though.
I did. It was fun. Actually, we went down there to look at houses and neighborhoods.
Really?
Why are you talking about pipe dreams?
I'm happy for you, but that's depressing.
So. Where in Florida are you thinking about moving to?
Tampa area. So anywhere within that, like a 30-mile radius of Tampa.
I've never
somewhere
been
on
to
the
Florida.
Gulf, actually. I don't even care. As long
I
as
love
it's
Florida.
Never been. Yeah,
Tampa or South.
Nice. Never
Tampa's
been.
By Orlando. Is that's by Disney World? Or I mean, I'm just as terrible with other states as I am my own.
Orlando is central, and then Tampa is on the Gulf.
On the inside. Yeah.
So about an hour and a half west of Orlando.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Megan, we will talk about your trip later on. You had
absolutely.
A very exciting trip somewhere. So, you know, that's a nice little tease for later on in the show.
Uh-huh.
But we are here at the lovely 86th Street Pub. This has a lot of history for me. And we'll talk about that story sometime later down the road, though. But, yeah, we are recording in the back room where we used to record Indie Drinking Dead, the other show that I am on. It was recorded here each and every Sunday night during the season of The Walking Dead. We had a lot. It was like a party back here.
Oh, I can see that. This place is awesome. Like, there's just so much space, and there's so many pool tables.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to come. Yeah, got that, you know, that
got,
PBR.
Got the PBR. Yeah, exactly. It was one of the first sponsors for JL Media today. Johnny told me time and time again. And this is actually the first place where I met Johnny at.
But actually,
we'll get to that story later. We have this
can't
is episode
wait to
five.
Hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know, getting all misty eye. This is episode five. We have a jam packed episode, and we have a special announcement that we'll save for the last bit of the show that will change and shake the foundation and platform of this podcast.
Ooh. David's pregnant.
I am very. Can you tell?
Yeah.
I'm like 8 weeks right now. So like I said, we have a big show, a lot of information to be told and everything. So let's get right into it. So Megan, please hit me. Do you have any headlines over there? What's going on?
I do. Stranger Things is back.
Stranger Things is back.
So excited.
But you know what? Barb is dead. It's confirmed. It has been confirmed by the Duffers. So no Barb for this season.
I already knew
season.
She was dead anyway.
I know. I don't think
no,
I
you
ever
know,
questioned
I didn't
it, honestly.
Either, but a lot of people did.
I think they were just holding hope.
It was like this whole, like, bring Barb back. Oh, I like that. Bring Barb back. But anyway, so Barb's not coming back, but the rest of the cast is. So we get all our little bike heathens back, and there's two new characters. We're going to have a new antagonist. So that's going to be fun. And then, Sean Astin is going to be in the
really?
New season.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Really?
He is going to be, Winona Ryder's new boyfriend. So that's going to be cool. I'm excited about that. And it's going to open on Halloween a year after last season ended. And I'm excited. They say it's going to be darker. It's going to be, you know, more action-packed. And we're going to get a lot more of the upside down because we just got there when the season ended.
Yes.
And that was, like, so disappointing to me. So I'm excited to see more of that.
I actually loved the first season of Stranger Things.
I did, too.
I think they developed it very well.
Yeah. It was a nice little throwback to the 80s. Mm-hmm. And with it had the look of the 80s. It had the soundtrack of the 80s. It was a mixture between Steven Spielberg, Amazing Stories, Twilight Zone type vibe to it. So I really loved it. So you say October 27th is
one.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it was. I love that one. And this is like totally on the other end of the spectrum. This is a new Quentin Tarantino movie coming out about the Manson family murders. And there's not a whole lot of detail surrounding it yet. But we do know it's set to shoot in 2018. And it looks like possibly Brad Pitt and Jennifer Lawrence. So that would be cool. And
it'll be cool if Brad Pitt actually played Charles Manson.
You think that's who he'd be? I mean,
maybe.
Who else?
We'll see.
I mean, that'd be a crazy role for him.
Either him or Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, Leo could do it. Leo can do anything.
Leo.
But yeah, so, you know, this is probably most likely going to be around the Sharon Tate murder and all of that. So this could be Quentin Tarantino's first movie based on true events. Yeah. So excited to see what he could do with something like that.
This movie and Quentin Tarantino, the way he directs movies, it goes hand in hand. I could not think of a better director to take on this task. And we've had plenty of movies about Charles Manson and the Manson murder, Sharon Tate, this, that, and the other. But I think him, the way he does movies and this subject, is just like hand to a glove.
I agree.
It
love
is.
It.
Yeah. Oh, this and is I, totally
I,
his.
I love Quentin movies. He's one of my favorite directors
I
of all time.
Agree.
I cannot think of a bad Quentin Tarantino movie at all.
I don't think there's any that I've watched that I was like, I can't finish this.
No, he just but does such a, he just
he
brings
draws
you in. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then you're in. Yeah. You're in the movie now.
And I can totally see where he can maybe focus on the Sharon Tate portion, but he does such a great job of taking so many different stories and bringing them together into one big story. And this is like the perfect story, if you will, where there are so many different
ways he
avenues
like he could totally do just the family and you know, like, and there's some crazy enough characters
they're creepy in real life.
So add a, you know, a Tarantino twist on him, I just can't even imagine. That's going to be huge. So but no real details, so you'll just have to kind of follow along and wait for them to come out.
What's going on with Suicide Squad 2?
Basically the same thing. It's so depressing. I want to know much more. That I loved the first one. The second one is coming out spring of 2019. And it looks like most likely Colette Serra is going to direct this one. So we'll see.
I was going to butcher his name too.
I'm
sorry.
Let's try it.
I
apologize.
How to pronounce
how
it.
How did you, what'd you find?
It looks like it's Kwame Kuye Serra.
Ooh.
That was better than what I could ever
Sarah.
Done.
I had to Google it, but that's about as good as I can get.
Well, hats off to this guy. He also directed Orphan, Run All Night, and The Shallows, just to name a few. And those are three that I really liked that I noticed on his. So,
I haven't seen The Shallows. I've seen Orphan.
Pretty good.
He also did House of Wax, the remix
House
for
of Wax,
with the death of Paris Hilton,
which we all
rejoice for. You know, all he needed was a Kardashian, and that would have been the best movie ever.
There's still time.
But along with that, Warner Brothers was also looking at Mel Gibson to direct that film.
I saw that. Yeah.
But you know, with scheduling conflicts and everything, I would love to see Mel Gibson direct a Suicide Squad film, because actually, you know, he's been shunned out of Hollywood for a while for his little antics and everything. But since he was nominated for an Oscar and everything, with Hacksaw Ridge, he's kind of been invited back into Hollywood and everything. So
we forgive you, Mel. Just
I would have loved to see him take on this task. I mean, he's got good comedic timing, also.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, things don't work out so good. So, you know. And
well,
Emmy
we'll
nominations.
See.
Let's hit that.
Yeah, well, the Emmys, the 69th annual Emmy, taking place on September 17th. It's going to be at the Wolf Theater in Hollywood, California, and hosted by Stephen Colbert, which I love Stephen Colbert.
I do, too.
So that'll be cool. And the nominees were just announced on the 15th, last Thursday. So there's quite a few. David's got a...
Yeah, I if you have looked at our Facebook page,
and you should,
you should always. I had put down the list of the best. It want some of the major categories if it'll come up on my page right now. For best drama, I believe. Let's see, what was it? House
West
of Cards.
World.
What have you seen? Westworld.
I have. I love
it. No, you haven't seen Westworld.
I started watching it. I think I watched like the first few episodes, and then I just got distracted watching.
I think Handmaid's Tale was in there.
I love that.
That's a good one, too. I haven't seen very much of it yet. Mm-hmm. I just started right after I got back from Nashville. But yeah. Oh man, that's good. That's like a good woman's show. Mm-hmm. Like you need to watch it.
Yeah.
All you women out there.
I see House of Cards was on there.
Which that's a really good one it too.
Is. This past season, let me talk about this. This past season of House of Cards was one of the best seasons that they ever
I'm not caught up.
You're not?
I'm not. My husband would be great right here.
Are you
here,
on this current season?
Right here. No. Oh, God, I don't even know where I'm at. I kind of just sit in with my husband when he's watching it. So I really have no idea where I'm at.
Well, Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright, let me talk to us there. I think they were both nominated for Best Actor and Best Actresses in a drama series. But I suggest anyone, if you like political dramas, if you like the backstabbing, the ins and outs, the workings of Washington, D.C., then I suggest you go check that check that show out. I'm sorry, I can't bring up the Emmy listings on my phone here.
I've got them.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Okay. What else is for the best drama?
So for the drama series, we have Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul.
Oh yeah, I've heard that one. It's hilarious.
Yeah, the spinoff for from Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Starring Saul. Saul from the lawyer from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It's a great show. Uh-huh. What else can I say about it? I love the show. What else is nominated for best?
The Crown on Netflix.
I haven't seen The Crown. I've heard good things about it. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen that one, but I have heard good things about it. The Handmaid's Tale, which we just talked about. House of Cards.
The Handmaid's Tale. What does it have the series or the channel or the
Hulu?
Hulu. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what else is what else is on that list?
Stranger Things on Netflix.
We just got done.
Talked about that. This Is Us on NBC.
Okay, that's everybody's favorite show. Everybody loves This Is Us.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either. But it does look good. So.
Okay. What else do you have? Anything else?
And then Westworld, which we just mentioned again.
That's my pick.
Westworld. That's your pick for.
That's my pick.
Yeah, I loved West. It took me a while to get into it, but maybe around episode 4.
Yeah, it was slow moving.
It's a 10 episode series on HBO. Mm-hmm. It's one of the successors, as they're going to put, for Game of Thrones when it leaves.
Oh, no.
Because they need to.
Not that great.
HBO needed another hit fast. Yeah.
Well, that was a good, and the twist at the end. I thought the twist at the end. And it really, because it's a kind of confusing show. I mean, you really got to watch it. It's not one that you can be doing other things. So, I mean, when I was confused basically the entire season. And then at the end, it was like, oh my God.
It's slow in the beginning. It takes a while.
It's pretty slow.
But when it gets going, it's real good.
Oh, it's so good. Just the idea of it, which I know it's a kind of a revamp of the old version or whatever.
Yeah.
But just the idea of it was so cool to me. It's like a playground for adults.
What other?
All right. So under comedy series, we have Atlanta on FX. And then.
Okay. Okay. Atlanta. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then we have Blackish on ABC.
Okay.
And then we have Master of None on Netflix.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Never seen it.
I haven't either.
Oh, I love Aziz. I'm sorry. There's something about him that I'll just watch anything.
Then we have Modern Family on ABC, which I absolutely love.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm not a Modern Family guy.
I'm not a religious Modern Family watcher, but if it's on, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I'm not a. I haven't actually. I'm a admit right here. I haven't seen an episode of it.
It's good.
I have a lot of stuff I have
it's
to
good
watch.
Good family
man.
Fun. It is. It's just good. Yeah, it's just stupid and humor. And it's just funny.
Yep.
Silicon Valley on HBO.
Sorry, we're having a little technical difficulties right now, but hey, we're going to force it right through here.
Oh, goodness. Which I have actually seen Silicon Valley a couple episodes. I watched that with my oldest child, and it's actually really funny.
Oh, God, it is so funny.
It is hilarious.
So stupid.
It is really funny. And then Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is one of my favorite Netflix series.
I barely dipped
into talk about
that. So
what's the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt? What is that about?
So basically this, I know I've talked about this on a previous episode, David, but thanks for forgetting. But anyway,
I apologize. Damn.
Oh gosh. No. So basically, she and a group of the girls were stuck at a bunker with some cult, you know, priest or whatever you want to call him, and they get found or whatever, they escape, and now she's out in the city after being in this bunker. I don't remember how many years, you know, but for a long time, and she's trying to figure things out, you know, and she's, you know, okay, this is totally different than when I was first in this bunker and being told the end of the world and all this. So she's just trying to figure things out, figure herself out. And she's living in an apartment with Titus, who's like this gay actor trying to find himself in the world.
Right.
It's just really funny, just her, the antics and the shenanigans that go on, whatever. And it's just, it's a cute comedy. It's really funny.
All right, cool.
Yep.
I see Veep on HBO has also been nominated.
Veep.
You got Best Drama or Drama Actress. Actress for Best Drama. Actress in the drama. God damn.
There's
get
drama
it right.
And there's actresses.
You got
and
Viola
together.
Davis for How to Get Away with Murder. Clara Voy for The Crown. Elizabeth Moss, Handmaid's Tale. Kerry Russell, The Americans. Evan Rachel Wood, Westworld. Robin Wright, House of Cards. And actor in a drama series. You got Sterling Brown for This Is Us. Anthony Hopkins, Westworld. Bob Odendork, Better Call Saul, Matthew Rice, The Americans, Liev Schreiber, Ray Donovan, Kevin Spacey, House of Cards, and Milo, help me out with the last name, but for This Is
Ventimiglia?
Us. Thank you very much. Ooh. For This Is Us, Best Actor in a Comedy, you got Anthony Anderson, Blackish. Help me out with the
Aziz Ansari.
Thank you. God damn these names. Master of None, Zach Galifianakis, Baskets, Donald Glover, Atlanta, William H. Macy, Shameless, Jeffrey Tambor, Transparent, comedy actress. You got Pamela Adlon.
Thank
you very much. Better Things, Tracy Ellis Ross, Blackish, Jane Fonda, Grace and Frankie, Lily Tomlin, Grace and Frankie, Allison Janney, Mom, and Ellie Kemper, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Julia Louise Dreyfus for Veep. I'm not going to run through everything here, but for limited series, you got Big Little Lies, HBO, Fargo, FX, Feud, Betty and Joan on FX, The Night Of, HBO, Genius, National Geographic Channel. What else do I have down here? Best Variety Talk Show Series, Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, Jimmy Kimmel Live, last week with John Oliver on HBO.
That is my favorite.
You like that?
Oh, my God. I love John Oliver so much. I just want to hug him.
You got
him.
The Late Late Show with James Corden. You got Real Time with Bill Maher, which I am very surprised.
I love Bill
Maher, I'm very surprised that got nominated after the controversy that he was in a few weeks ago. The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and Variety Sketch Series. You got Billy on the Street, True TV, Documentary Now, IFC, I'm sorry. Drunk History, Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah. Drunk History is good. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Okay, real quick. We have to talk about that.
All right, go ahead.
What they do is they bring in actors, and they're usually like B actors, but you recognize them every now and again. But what they do is they get them drunk and then let them tell a story about usually American history. And it is hilarious. And so then they bring in bigger actors to reenact what the other actor is saying. And so it'll be like, oh, Abraham Lincoln was given the Gettysburg Address. And he was like, hey, listen up. And you'll show Abraham Lincoln saying that it just like that. It's just it's kind of hard to explain, but it is so good. Take some time. Watch Drunk History.
That's on Comedy Central.
It is, yeah, and it's you can watch any episodes in any order. It's a new,
really?
It's like three different stories each episode.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
You got Portlando on IFC, Saturday Night Live, NBC, of course, and the Tracy Ullman Show, HBO. Gosh, she's still doing it.
I was about
to
say, yeah. She's still.
That's where The Simpsons was first introduced on this Tracy Ullman Show, the original, back in the late 80s. Okay, from there, we're going to go ahead. There was a movie that was released very recently. That Liz and I was very privileged to see, and that was called War of the Planet of the Apes. Now, we're going to give a little quick review, so I'm going to hand the mic over to Liz. Liz, what did you think of the movie last night?
My quick review is that it was good.
All right.
Well, there you have
I'm
it, ladies
kidding,
and gentlemen.
No. The end. No, I actually really liked it. I really thought, actually...
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
I love to give away spoilers, but since it just...
Yeah, no spoilers, yeah. But really, after watching the whole movie and really... taking it really kind of and I'm not a religious biblical person, but it really made me think of like Moses and you know, that kind of story.
The Israelites, you know.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. Moses and, you know, trying to set his people free. And
yeah, Moses, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Led him through the
right, and then yeah. And then getting him to the promised land and all that mm-hmm. stuff. Like, that kind of, you know, reminded me of that story, oddly enough. And then, I don't know, it is weird. I just, that yeah. was came to me towards the end. And then,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, it's okay.
I'm thinking of what I'm going to say.
And then, I'm not one to cry a lot of movies. If it can, maybe I can get my eyes welled up. Or I might get one tear. One tear. Hold on. Don't say
one
anything yet.
Glistening
and
tear
I, on the cheek. There was one part of the movie, and I was like, had tears like down my face.
Dead
and I was
monkeys,
like, I was not
monkeys.
Prepared for that. And I had to I had to cover it up. So I took a drink of my beer, and then I ate a French fry, and then I made it look like I was wiping my mouth. After eating the French
yes,
fries, so
girl.
That people couldn't tell I was wiping my face.
Our roles were literally reversed last night because I'm the
you're
one
the blubber.
Who cries.
You're the blubberer.
Yeah, I'm uh-huh. the one who usually cries in movies. Don't matter, don't care
oh,
what
me
it
too.
Is.
I cry at commercials.
And I was just sitting there stone faced. I was just taking it all in. I did not know she was crying until she told me after the movie.
Because I'm that great at you know, covering
she
it.
She hit
up.
It very
uh-huh.
well.
Man.
For me, I thought it was the best out of the modern day trilogy.
Oh, okay.
I loved all the Planet of the Apes films.
I have so far, yeah.
Even the originals. The originals, of course, with back
oh,
in the 60s
so
with
bad.
Charles.
It's
I,
so
you know, you know
well,
what?
I mean, it's a good movie, but the makeup,
well, of course,
the, right?
Yeah.
You know, you watch
the,
it now and you're
for
like,
for that
what?
Time.
Really?
It actually
yeah,
won an
for
Oscar
time,
for,
yeah.
for Best Special Effects. For that time, it was groundbreaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And, of course, it starred, you know, Charlton Heston. It was more of a, more or less a sci-fi film.
Right.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with this movie, and I'm going to give away a little spoiler.
Oh, I can't wait. Yay.
Nova was introduced.
Okay, that's cool.
Which totally got me. And I heard rumblings
like,
about,
oh, here we
know,
go.
About a mute girl.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then when she when we finally found out that her name, that, you know, well, they didn't outright say her name was Nova. But you but,
you
but
know
they kinda,
who it is.
Yeah. They did something to make it indicate that she was Nova. And I was like, oh. Nova. You know, I turned around and was like, Liz, I was like, that's Nova. You know.
Oh, I'm so excited to see it now.
And of course, the ending left you with some gratification of where the story is uh-huh. headed. Me, I would kind of liked it better if, you know, I understand that it was all the way on the West Coast
uh-huh.
in California. But I would kind of liked it better if they would have traveled to the East Coast and we would have saw the remnants of the...
The
Statue of Liberty,
right?
A
like in the
bit.
Other
yeah,
movie,
yeah, yeah.
Like, no!
Yeah, to me, I was like, oh yeah, okay, that's
yeah.
great. But it ended on a high note.
Cool.
And yeah, it was the best of the modern trilogy from Rise and Dawn to
mm-hmm.
War. I think War was the best out of the bunch. So nice. I mean, if you haven't seen War, the Planet of the, I suggest you go see. It's one of the best movies of
mm-hmm.
the summer.
Yay.
I wouldn't go as far as saying it is the best movie of the summer. But it's one of the best.
Yeah, it was definitely a great movie.
It's definitely mm-hmm. like in my top five or something like
yeah.
that or whatever.
Right on.
Natural transition from there, the director of War of the Planet, actually the director of Dawn and War of the Planet of the Apes, Matt Reeves. Of course, we all know he is attached to the new Batman film, which Ben Affleck has recently dropped out of directing. But he's still going to star as Batman. He's still going to be as Batman.
I know. That's what I was hoping to. I was like, completely?
Yeah, that's what I said. When I first saw that, I was like, oh, he's not Batman anymore. I was like excited.
Yes.
And then David was like,
gonna cry.
No, he's just not the director. And
No.
Oh.
He was attached to direct it. He actually wrote the script. Him and he and Jeff Johns actually wrote the script for The Batman, which is the movie's going to be titled. But I guess under pressure... He couldn't deal with it. I don't even going to say he couldn't deal
not
with it. It was just too much for him to take on, I assume. So he dropped out. And so Warner Brothers was on the hunt of finding a director, and they found one in Matt Reeves. Of course, like I mentioned before, he's director of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War of the Planet of the Apes. But recently news came out that Matt Reeves, he recently appeared on MTV's Happy, Sad, Confused podcast and revealed that he was going to do away with the script that Affleck did with Chris Terrio. I want to say that wrong. I probably butchered his
name
too. Chuck
it out the window.
And Jeff Johns. Chris, he also collaborated on Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, and he also wrote the script to Ben Affleck's Oscar-winning movie Argo. So him and Ben has a history of working together. But since Matt Reeves came on, he's going to do away with that sort of script and work from scratch. And he said that when he was asked that when he was working with the actor's draft, if he was going to work with the actor's draft, he said, no, it's a new story. He's starting over again. But he's excited about it and think things are really going to be cool. The release date for Batman is still going to be determined, but you can also see Ben Affleck and the Justice League movie coming out November 17th. So that news just hit recently. And also along with that news, we have everybody's favorite Wonder Woman.
Oh, yes.
Still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
The movie. Go, girl. The movie is assured of topping out at 300 to 90, probably around 400 million domestically, becoming the number 8 comic book adaptation of all time. That's not including inflation, of course. And it will pass up Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which topped out at 385.8 million in North America to become the top summer earner. So right now, that movie is
hot.
It is. Wonder Woman will earn roughly 3.8 times the 103.0 million it collected when it launched on the weekend of June 2nd and June 4th. And the film is also destined to become the studio's, which is Warner Brothers' third biggest movie domestically, behind Dark Knight, which topped out at 534.9 million, and The Dark Knight Rises at 448.1 million. That's not including inflation. Those movies basically went on worldwide to garner over $1 billion.
Wow.
So Wonder Woman is going up there, and they're getting ready for Wonder Woman 2. They gotta come out with a part 2. Yeah. Hopefully Patty Jenkins is attached to it.
I'm so hoping that she just comes on board and, you know, produces magic again. I mean, it's
a fabulous movie.
It is a fabulous movie.
The rumor is that it was set in the 80s around the Cold War in Russia.
Yeah.
So that's the rumor. So hopefully that will come about. And of course, you can see Wonder Woman again this fall/winter in Justice League also.
Mm-hmm.
So, Liz, not too long ago, we went to PopCon.
We sure did.
Did you see Wonder Woman at PopCon?
I saw lots of
Wonder Woman. I can't
imagine.
Talk about your outfit, Liz.
Okay, well, I was not Wonder Woman. I was Wonder Woman in training. And I basically just had, you know, these pants that said Wonder Woman in training, a little sports bra that said Wonder Woman in training.
Uh-huh. and she's going to get mad at this.
Oh, God.
I did not.
Oh,
we had this conversation before, and I'm going to say it on there. She was a celebrity. And she, you know, that's
she just doesn't know
let me
it.
Just say that you don't have to respond. We all know your response to that, Liz. She was literally a celebrity. She was walking through there, and all eyes were literally on her in that outfit. Trust me.
Oh yeah,
I seen it.
Uh huh.
He seen it.
I seen it. So yeah. So what else happened at PopCon?
It was actually, you know, I really liked it. It wasn't as big as Comic-Con, but it kind of made it, you know, that much more fun.
Yeah, more intimate.
It did. It was a lot easier to kind of walk around and spend a little more time at the booths and talk to some of the people there. You know, just made it more interesting. My kids were there with us, so they walked around.
It was my daughter's first con.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. It was. Ooh.
Yeah, it was her first con. Usually, I'm going to Comic Con, but I'm having to work the whole weekend with Indie Drinking Dad and our panels there, so I'm not able to take her.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went down there, met up with Liz and her kids and everything. She had a ball looking at all the cosplayers and everything. Yeah. We actually, Brandon Peters and Cullen Brecker was actually down there doing a live show of Colson McCavicade.
Collecting their
award. And we
congratulations,
was down
guys.
Yeah, congratulations, guys.
That's
you
right.
well
you know we love
so
you.
That was such a fun
It was.
Podcast
they was
to
about,
watch.
They were talking about Terror Squad.
Yes, they were.
And which Liz has a little history with Terror Squad.
I do. So my I actually was born and raised in Kokomo, Indiana, which is where the Terror Squad was shot and took place and everything, which is just weird. But both my grandfather and my dad were part of the civil defense. I don't even think they have a civil defense there now, but it was kind of a volunteer fire police, you know, kind of little thing.
Yeah.
And so they my grandfather more so than my dad, but they were both kind of in the movie. And my grandfather was actually one of like the police officers in the movie, so kind of just an extra. But even my brother and I were extras in the movie, but our scene got cut, so it was no fun. But like, there was like one of the big city buildings, and you know, they're exploding everything in the movie in Kokomo. And so there's a scene where people are just like running around like crazy. And so my brother and I got to be one of the extras running around while things were exploding. So it was really fun. I was like 5 or 6. I was really young.
Yeah.
But it was still fun. I still remember it. So that movie, as awful as it is.
It's part of you.
It is. Yeah. So, and the fact that anyone's even heard of it, because usually when I bring it up to people, they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't expect you to know.
No, I don't. I don't know what you're talking about, but I love watching you talk about it.
Yeah, it was just exciting. And regardless, of course, you know, and I understand they were like talking about it because it was a horrible movie, but the fact that anyone knew what it was, it still touched my heart.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, I admit it. To me, it was a little on a smaller scale. PopCon was great, you know, other than Comic-Con.
I like small scale.
Comic-Con, it's a lot going on
and
down
you
there.
Miss, you know, you're going
to
miss something.
You do.
And
you literally have to plan out like your day or days if you're going to Comic-Con.
Like,
especially
I mean,
if you're dressing up at Comic-Con.
Exactly.
You're not getting anywhere.
Exactly. I mean, with Comic-Con, you know, I'm busy. We got the panels down there. Right. I'm stressing about that.
Yeah.
And so I really don't have time to sit back and enjoy it too much because I always got something on my mind.
Yep.
But this time I was able to just lay back and just take my kid and, you know, Liz and everybody, and we just walk through seeing all the cosplayers. Unfortunately, our Harley Quinn count.
is it going down?
It for PopCon, it's
dwindling.
It didn't hit the number that I wanted, although I didn't know for sure.
I didn't
sure.
think it would.
Yeah, there's been some time.
For Comic-Con, I think we topped out at almost 200.
Yeah.
Was
and,
it?
I mean, PopCon is pop culture, so I figured, and I think I was pretty much right, PopCon was going to be more anime and a lot of just everything.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of that. Whereas Comic-Con obviously is comics. So you're going to see a lot of the Harley Quinns and Jokers and Poison Ivies. You're going to see a lot of more of those, I won't say normal, but you're going to see a lot of those popular comic book characters. And then, of course, with the Harley Quinn movie coming out or had just come out.
Suicide Squad.
Sorry, I don't know. It's right here in front of me, and I still couldn't think of it. It just wasn't coming out. So with Suicide Squad had just come out recently.
Right.
Everyone was going to play, you know, in Harley Quinn.
And it was actually started off as a joke, you know, the Harley Quinn count.
No, I remember seeing the progression of the Harley Quinn count.
It started off as a legitimate joke. I was only down there for maybe about 5 minutes. I was probably down there for 5 minutes, and I've seen like 5 Harley Quinns already.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't even inside the convention center. So I was like, oh, I'm going to count the Harley Quinns. Why not?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was there for Friday and Saturday. Liz was down there Sunday.
Perfect.
And literally, I thought I was done. I thought I was done with the Harley Quinn count Saturday night. And there was a Liz said, hey, I will take over.
Uh-huh.
I was like, cool, let's just turn it. And it was getting a lot of response on Facebook, and I was like, hey, maybe we got something here.
Yeah.
Let's turn this into a Harley Quinn count 2017. Why
I like
not?
It. Yeah. Yep. It was very cool.
So yeah, we can continue. You think we've seen any of Gen Con? No?
Well, we could, because Gen Con's gaming, so people could dress up as Injustice game. So
yeah,
people could do any of those characters. So it's very possible, but and then, you know, obviously there's a bazillion other games. So it's board games plus the video games.
The Warcraft costumes are always what I look forward to.
So Gen Con could have some of those, but I think we're gonna see a lot of the more of the actual like board games as well as other video games.
We should do like a different count for that. We shouldn't go in with Harley Quinn.
Like elves. We could do like an elves count.
How many elves are we gonna
elves and orgs and stuff like that?
I'll be an elf, please.
All right. Well, let's see. I want to talk about there was a documentary that was released this past week, or actually last week when this podcast will be released. It's on HBO. It's called The Defiant Ones. It's a 4-part documentary, and it actually tells the story of Jimmy Iovine from Interscope Records and Dr. Dre, their relationship. I wanted to briefly talk about this because it is one of the best musical documentaries that I have ever seen, and I love documentaries. It actually starts off with the sale of Beats headphones to Apple, how that was almost ruined. Of course, everybody knows Beats, Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine behind the Beats, the headphones and the stereos and whatnot, sold their stock to Apple for $3.2 billion, which actually made Dr. Dre the first hip-hop billionaire.
Wow.
Even surpassing Diddy. But it starts off with everybody talking about that sale, potential sale at that time, how Dr. Dre almost ruined it with a Facebook Live video with him and Tyrese Gibson.
I don't remember that.
That should get you in there.
Yeah.
But this documentary has everybody in it, from, of course, Dr. Dre and Jimmy, to Eminem, to N.W.A., Ice Cube, MC Ren, DJ Yella, of course, Snoop Dogg. On the flip side, for Jimmy's side, it has Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty. Who else is in there? P. Diddy, Nas. It has everyone in there. Jimmy, unbeknownst to me, actually was a record producer back in the early days, which I did not know. He produced Bruce Springsteen's records. Tom Petty's, of course. U2 has Bono in there. He did a lot of record producing. Of course, we all know the history and lineage of Dr. Dre, mm-hmm. you know, from N.W.A. to The Chronic, to Death Row, Tupac, to his own label, Aftermath, Eminem, 50 Cent, so forth and so on. And so it tells about that whole progression. It actually tells two separate stories and how they meet at the end. Mm-hmm. And become what they are now. So if you have HBO or if you subscribe to HBO, I suggest you check out this four-part documentary. It's only an hour-long episodes. Really informative, really good, really well-directed by Alan Hughes, who is one half of the Hughes brothers. If you don't recognize them, their first directorial movie was the name skips me now. I'm so sorry. Straight out of Compton. Darn it. brain fart. Anyway, check them out. South Central. Jesus Christ. I'm so
South
sorry.
South Central.
They also did a few other movies. I know they worked with Johnny Depp, From Hell. I believe they did that about, I think it was the early 90s. So Alan Hughes directed it. I suggest you go check it out if you have HBO. It's real good.
Deal.
Megan.
Yo. Yes.
You just came back from a little vacay, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I went to Nashville.
Tell the kids where'd you go. Where'd you go?
I went to Nashville for the sole purpose of Con of Thrones.
Yes.
Now, what exactly is Con of Thrones for the uninitiated?
Con of Thrones, it's a convention for Game of Thrones. For
so
thronies
jealous.
Everywhere. And it was amazing. And you know what was kind of sad is when we got there, you know, obviously we went to Broadway and, you know, nobody knew what was going on. Nobody that was working, like, you know, I don't know. There probably weren't a whole lot of locals there, but, like, nobody had any idea. And so, like, we're walking around with our badges constantly. Like, I had my lanyard with my tag on the whole trip. And so we were like, what is that? You know, it's like, what do you mean, what is this? And different bars were different kingdoms or,
oh my God,
you know, or
so
cities.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it turned out that the first bar that we went to, which was, I think, Tootsie's, maybe? It was Winterfell, and it was like a hangover is coming, and so like they had posters.
Oh,
you had to kind of go, you had to look for them to find out like where you were in the realm. But it was really cool. So we started off in Winterfell, and then like kind of bar hopped Friday night, and then Saturday spent the whole day at the convention. And you know, it's really small because obviously it's only about one thing. So there was a big marketplace where they had different booths and stuff, and it wasn't all Game of Thrones related. And actually, there was a lot of stuff that wasn't related. Not enough t-shirts, by the way. I would just like to throw that out there. Con of Thrones, get some more, like, clothing vendors. Because all I wanted was, you know, a Targaryen, something cute, whatever, and I just couldn't find anything like that. But I did buy a CD of Daenerys and the Targaryens, and it's a band, and they're based out of Denver, Colorado, and like I got on their Facebook and liked their page and wrote them a review, and they're like instantly responded. So they're just like really down to earth, but it's a female lead singer, like her name is Dani, and then she's got the band, and they're all dressed like, one's dressed as Samwell Tarly, and their songs like Drogo He Didn't, and then there's one Incest Is Best
That was a good one.
Oh my god!
It says his best. It best. Like, wow. It, oh yeah, no, that's they're all their songs are about Game of Thrones. So it was just it's such a cool CD, and I'm kind of mad.
Incest is best.
Incest is best. Yeah,
we're gonna have to hashtag that.
One of the lines is, "I saw you in the womb, and I started to swoon." Like, these songs are hilarious, and I'm kind of mad because I got the live copy.
We have journeyed
copy.
From 86th Street Pub to the sticks of Virginia.
No, into the castles of Westeros.
I know, right?
Oh, this is going on everywhere, David. Everywhere.
Yeah, you didn't know.
What, incest?
Yeah.
Yeah, clearly, all over Westeros.
I'm not one to judge. I'm just saying that is in the
if
song.
If you
want to
be queen,
yeah,
and gotta then, be mean.
There's a song about Tyrion. There's a song about Tyrion Lannister, and the last line of the song, she says, "Hold me closer, tiny Lannister." And I was like, "How did I not get that until now?" Perfect. But oh, it was so much fun, and I made the ultimate commitment while I was there, and I got a Game of Thrones tattoo. And it says Dracarys, which we all know means dragon fire. So I don't need to tell you that. But Johnny's like, "I didn't know that. You're the only one, Johnny." That's what Daenerys says to her dragons when she wants them to light somebody up. So yeah, but oh my gosh, it was so much fun.
And what about
the
panel that
trip.
You saw with?
So yeah, it was a small convention. It was literally just the marketplace, and then you went upstairs to one of their auditoriums because it was at the Gaylord Convention Center, which. It's a convention center. It's a hotel. It is amazing. This place is so cool. You gotta just, if you can't go, Google it. And it's amazing. Inside these huge gardens, it's got like a lazy river that you can take a boat ride on. And it was amazing. But one of their rooms was the panel. And so you could go in there and listen in on all kinds of different discussions. They had the creator of the Dothraki language and the Valyrian language. So that was really cool and interesting to listen to. And the guy that's created that language has created, like, I think he said thousands of languages for movie and TV and stuff like that. And then the best panel was the dead panel. And they had 7 actors from the show that have already died. And they were, oh my God, they were like less than 100 feet away from me. I'm not good at judging distance, but they were close enough though. I recorded a lot of it, so I will add that to the Facebook page so you can see that. But the most exciting person on the panel was for me a split between Ramsay Bolton and Sirio, because I always loved Sirio. We didn't get to see him for very long. And
the greatest Braavosian...
Water dancer.
Yeah, water dancer.
The first sword of
water
Braavos.
Water dance!
The first sword of Braavos. And, you know, there's this big rumor or theory that he never died. And so he kind of was like, well, look, I'm not going to give anything away, but let's just... I'm looking for work. Let me just say that.
Yeah,
I was like, oh,
yeah,
no.
He's dead.
He's dead. Yeah, he's dead. But it was really cool. Ramsay was on there. And they had them kind of attempt to act out their last scene, their death scene again. And they all kind of played around with
Did
it.
They have the dogs?
And, no, that's what Ramsay said. He was like, well, I'm sitting. So how about I just go, like, he didn't get into it, but Liza Aaron was there, and of course we know she went through the moon door at the hands of Littlefinger, and so she has the thickest Scottish accent I've ever heard in my life. You couldn't really understand a lot that she was saying, and then when they asked her to act out that last scene, she snapped right into Liza Aaron, and she was like, "I love you. I did things for you," and it gave me chills. Like, I teared up because it was like, I remember watching that 18 times, but and now you're doing it right in front of me. It's, I'm getting a little verklempt right now, just reliving this panel.
Oh, look at you, Megan. Look at her.
I'm a nerd, guys. This
is
my...
She is really getting a little emotional.
They were just right there, and it was so cool. And, like, Princess Shireen, I loved her from the very beginning. And so seeing her up there and, you know, without the grayscale, she's so beautiful. So that was
you
cool.
You are really getting emotional.
Shut up, David. Okay. Let's talk about how we hate Ben Affleck as Batman and get David
I know,
worked
right?
up.
Ben Affleck.
Maybe we can get David to cry.
Ben Affleck was the best.
Mortal
Bruce
Kombat
Wayne.
On Sega Genesis is the best.
He was the best Bruce Wayne. To hell with all y'all, okay? To hell with all y'all. Okay, let's okay.
Yeah.
now
Ben Affleck as my man crush.
He's in my stew.
I know.
Kiss my ass. Anyway. Let's talk about
David make his own stew. Yeah. Ben Affleck being the main ingredient.
It. That's all.
You
it's
can
a very
leave
bland
right now.
Stew. It's bland.
You can leave right now.
It'd be very bland with a lot of Ben Affleck in it.
Oh, shit.
It only does one thing.
Are we done, Johnny? Are we done?
He's got one role. Carries him all the way through.
Okay, let's. Okay. All week long.
I hate
long,
you, Superman.
All.
Who's Martha?
Sorry.
That's. Why. I can't defend that scene. I'm sorry.
I know. You
really
can't.
I really
don't
can't.
Don't let him kill Martha.
Why'd
she's,
you say that name?
She's my Martha, name? Not your Martha.
You know a Martha, too?
There's only one Martha
the only
in
one.
The world.
Yeah. Can we talk about incest again? Incest is the best.
It's best.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
It's best.
All right. Well, all week, if you have been recently, if you've been paying attention to the Facebook page, I have been posting a lot of Game of Thrones
oh,
things.
Yeah. Is this the reveal? Yeah. He's got a secret
and,
for us. Or a surprise for us.
Well,
yeah.
No. The surprise is at the end, but we're going to talk about
okay, Game
one
of Thrones.
You know what? I'm just going to say it right
do
now.
Do it. Say it. Who have we missed in the picture or the scene?
Oh, no. That's coming up a little later.
Oh
I got to pump you up for this.
Fine. Pump you
all,
up.
All week long on the Facebook page, I have been posting a bunch of Game of Thrones things because we are right now in the middle of the return, and I'm going to say it right now. I know I do any Drinking Dead, and I love The Walking Dead, but right now Game of Thrones is my new favorite show.
Oh, yeah. I love Walking Dead as well, but yes. Game of Thrones is just way better.
Game of Thrones right now is the best show on
so
television.
Hot. Yeah.
The scale, the acting, the way it's handled, it is the continuity, it is fabulous.
Yeah.
So all week long I've been posting trailers from previous seasons to get ready for season 7. And real quick, each of us, I want to get both of your views on what you expect to happen in season 7. But real quick, you know, with season 6, of course we had, you know, episode 9. With Battle of the Bastards between Jon Snow and Ramsay Bolton, which was probably the most expensive episode that they ever produced.
Mm-hmm. Ramsay talked about that on the panel too. Oh God, it was amazing.
It was.
It was amazing.
That episode is probably my favorite episode ever.
That
in Game of Thrones.
Oh my gosh!
In the Game of Thrones series, it was the battle scene reminded me. It reminded me of a mixture between the battle scenes in Braveheart.
Braveheart, exactly what I was thinking. Braveheart, yeah.
But it was shot like Steven Spielberg shot the war scenes in Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
If you can just mix those
in
two, gory. It was fabulous.
Yeah.
And of course, we saw Jon Snow and Sansa take back, and the Wildlings take back Winterfell.
Yeah.
And then you saw them preparing to go to war, the Great War is what they call them, with the White Walkers. Go to episode 10, Cersei went buck wild.
Cersei
went buck wild.
And now all her children are covered in gold shrouds.
She did the same thing that the Mad King was planning on doing.
Absolutely, and she's going to do it again.
Yeah.
Before Jaime
burned them
Lannister,
all.
Yeah, before
burned
Jaime
them all.
Lannister killed them. They had a bunch of wildfire underneath the Sept of Baelor.
Yep.
And she found that out. It wasn't a rumor. It was true, and she
blew
up.
Oh, it is other places. You know
yeah.
And you saw the look that he gave her, like when he got back and I think realized what was going on, and he gave her that look like, I don't know what to do with you now.
Right.
Like, you
know, I
don't
know if
like,
I can move past this.
Yeah,
this
like,
might be
this
the
is
straw.
What I tried to prevent.
Yeah.
And
you just
like you are now mad.
Yeah.
Like, so what do I do? Like,
right.
I've promised my devotion to you forever, but
I
you've just done everything
Mad
that
King.
I've tried to prevent. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, so.
So, Liz, I'm going to start with you. What do you want to see? What do you expect to see in season 7? There's only 7 episodes, so we got limited series here. So they're going to go real fast, real quick. So
yes,
what do you
they
expect?
Will. I'd want to see Arya Stark's wolf come back. I think we've talked about this kind of off air, but I definitely want to see the wolf. I've been waiting for her wolf. Her wolf is the only one that hasn't
come up dead yet. You know, she's that's one that's...
You got Ghost. You got Jon Snow's Ghost.
Oh, that's right. That's right, Ghost.
Those are the only two direwolves.
Yeah, so I'm expecting to see the wolf at some point, if not this season, the next. But
she's been there all along. I just
yes, like I've been waiting like every
Nymeria,
every season, Nymeria. Every episode since she's let it go. I've been waiting for it to come back at some point and help her out. So I'm still holding on to that. And then I really don't know. I mean, anything could happen. You know, Jaime turns on Cersei at some point and goes on. You know, sees Tyrion and where he's at and everything that's been, you know, mm-hmm. and sides with his brother because Cersei's lost it. I mean, who knows? It's so hard to tell. Obviously, Cersei's in a state of just crumble. She has nothing right now. She's queen, but she's queen of nothing. I mean, the whole city is just... So it's so hard to tell. And I mean, of course, I think everyone would love for Dany and Jon Snow to...
Dany.
Oh, Dany. Sorry.
I was like, who's Dany?
I don't know why. I always say Dany. I don't know why I say Dany. Dany, like, boy. Dany. Anyway, so Dany and Jon Snow to obviously meet and they unite and
Yeah. Whatever, one of the biggest reveals last season was that Jon Snow is half Targaryen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's her nephew.
Yeah. Okay, Megan, what about you?
I'm excited for Ilaria to meet Daenerys because, and so Ilaria is Oberon's lover. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she took over Dorne.
Yes, Dorne.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her and her daughters. And I didn't agree with the way they did things, but I think that I like them. And I think they're a powerful key player and they are angry and they are mad. And so I can't wait to see her meet Daenerys, and those two are very strong women, and see what they, you know, kind of do together. Because we saw Varys, he's in Dorne, so he's going to bring her over, or vice versa. So I'm excited to see those two meet up. My prediction has always been, since we found out that Bran was a warg, that he's going to be a dragon. He is going to warg into one of her dragons. He's going to meet with Dany. He's going to warg into one of her dragons and control it as it's over King's Landing, just F and S up. So so that's one of my – that's been a since the first time we found out Bran was a warg, that's always been in. So I'm hoping I get to see some of that.
The Three-Eyed Raven. Mm-hmm.
The Three-Eyed Raven story is boring. I think it's important, but every time it comes on, I'm just like, all right, let's.
Well, that's how we found out that Jon is a Targaryen.
No, I know. That's why I'm saying it is important, essential. But yeah, it's essential. But it's just, I'm glad that he is now out of the tree and on his way.
So. Although Bran did kill Hodor, because.
Brandon kill Hodor.
If you think of it, yes, he did.
He held him there.
Bran saved himself. If Bran would have just stayed in his lane and not warred, the Night King touched him and found out where they was, and he can go into that cave.
When you take Hodor it back that far, yes, I thought you meant the instant we saw Hodor die. And
I put it together, man.
Right?
Yeah,
true. Oh my gosh, we wouldn't have Hodor if he didn't do all that.
Baby Hodor, not the actual Hodor that we know, but baby.
Hold the door.
Baby Hodor. He was at the panel. So, the baby guy, the flashback that was talking, the Hodor we saw talking. So, he was on the panel too, and he's massive.
And this will be the first season in a while that Game of Thrones is not nominated for an Emmy.
I saw that. I was like,
Because they waited so long, because they had to wait for wintertime in Iceland, because winter took so long to get, you know, to. The climate change in Iceland.
Well, it's nice them to give, you know, people a chance.
So that's why they that's why they delayed the season. That's why it's coming out in the summer instead of the spring. So they didn't make the Emmy nominations. My prediction is that Arya will meet up with the Hound again. Of course, we all know by the trailer we see Daenerys and Tyrion and Missandei and all of them. They will travel to Dragonstone, which is Daenerys' Targaryen's original home. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Melisandre's there. And I got all that from the trailer. Mm-hmm. I predict that somewhere in the season, Jon Snow will meet Dany.
Oh, yeah.
My big prediction, ice dragons. I'm just going to leave it
there. Oh, no, we saw that.
Not ice dragons.
We have seen that. That is in a picture of one of the trailer. I'm about to find it right now. But, yeah, you see that on
There was a lot of fan-made pictures. But it really has not been confirmed.
Oh, okay. Well, I trust you because you're on it.
But I predict we will see ice dragons.
Okay, so if we see ice dragons, do you predict that these are one of Danny's dragons, or do you think they already had one?
I think it'll be one of Danny's dragons.
Break my heart. If one of those dragon dies, I'm out. I'm done. No.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I am very fond of my dragons.
Real quick, I'm just going to say this. I posted a pictures of the blue carpet of the LA premiere, and there was one guy who we haven't seen who was at the premiere.
Okay.
From who I haven't seen since season 3.
All right. Okay.
Gendry.
Gendry. Yes. Baratheon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who was the bastard child of Robert Baratheon.
They talked about that too. Like, he's been rowing for years. Yeah. He's going to show up all
buff. He was actually
buff
at the premiere, so we might see him. He might be in the premiere of the Game of Thrones episode.
See, I don't know that he matters so much. He's a usurper. Like, he's not. The Targaryens are alive now, so why do we care about it? Like, Baratheon's just move over. You're not taking the throne.
Okay, well, we're almost at the end of the show, and I promised the big announcement.
Oh, I thought that was the big announcement.
Oh, no, man. That was Game of Thrones' big announcement. So I have 3 minutes here. So, I love to talk, so I'm going to have to say this very quickly here. At the beginning of this project, I always envisioned a 5-episode run. This project was put together very, very fast. And, again, I'd like to thank you two for saying yes.
My pleasure.
For being my working wives, my working concubines here.
Oh, my God.
Your harem.
Yes, I really enjoy it. Please, you know. Mm-hmm. I originally envisioned a 5-episode run. This is something I've always wanted to do from the beginning. But most of all, I wanted to be original. There's a lot of entertainment podcasts out there, a lot of movies, film, TV show podcasts out there, and I wanted this to be original. I wanted this to exploit our personalities. We all have big personalities, and I wanted to exploit that. I wanted it to come to life. I wanted it to be natural, organic, and so. But like I said in the beginning, this show was obviously put together very quickly. And now I would like to announce that we are going to continue this for the foreseeable future. And in doing that, we're going to change a little bit. We're not going to change the show.
No.
But we're going to change the name.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to
for the better.
For the
sure.
better.
It's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, so away goes entertainment today, and we're going to open up the doors and welcome in Screenland Squadron.
Dun, da, da, da.
That is us. That's our threesome.
Screenland Squadron.
Oh, that sounded so dirty. That's our threesome.
Oh yeah.
but yeah, that's who we're going to be called now. The Facebook change will be the Facebook page will be changed, and we also have an Instagram page.
Yeah, yeah.
You can look us up on Instagram at sl.squadron. That's sl at sl.squadron. There's a lot of content up there already. A lot of people liking the photos I'm putting up there and everything. So you can look for us on Instagram. So I would like to thank everyone who has listened to the show, who has given support. And let me just put it out there. We're not professional podcasters.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? We're not going to hit.
I'm not professional at anything.
I'm not. The whole, you know, we're fun. we're not going to, you know, appease everybody, but we're going to appease somebody.
That's right.
And so we're.
Will it
we're,
be
we're,
you?
It is
I'm
me,
talking
actually.
To the listener.
Oh, to the listeners. Okay. So, I'd like to thank everybody for supporting us and for giving us positive feedback. And we know we're going to have more shows to come. So, again, that's Screenland Squadron on Facebook at sl.squadron on Instagram. And I am David Banks here along with Megan.
Hey.
And
hi.
Along with Liz.
Hello.
And so
goodbye.
We will talk to y'all next time. Thank you very much, guys.